Ave Maria, thanks for watching this video series on Standing Fast about the secrets of the Templars. Last time I talked about the secret of the temple in Jerusalem, and this time I want to talk about the secret of the two swords. Now, St. Bernard, in his letter to the Templars called In Praise of the New Knighthood, he talks to them about the two swords. He said that it was no wonder that people should enter into spiritual battle with their spiritual sword, because he said there were monks all over the world who were doing that. And he said it was no wonder either that people entered into battle with their temporal physical swords, because he said the world was full of knights. But what he said was unique was the fact that Templars were entering into battle with both swords, the spiritual sword and the temporal sword. And he said that because they were doing this, they were purifying their own hearts. First of all, they were fighting the spiritual battle, and they were going from the old worldly knights to these new remade knights of Christ. And they were willing to give their lives for Christ, so that when they went into battle with the physical sword, the temporal sword, that whether they were victorious or died didn't really matter. Ultimately, they were fighting for Christ, and either way, they were victorious. Now, this doctrine of the two swords is something that he wrote about later in a letter to Pope Eugenius III, who was newly elected. He wrote the letter to the Templars in 1130, and this letter to Pope Eugenius III in 1153. And Pope Eugenius had formerly been a monk under St. Bernard at Clairvaux, and when he was elected Pope, St. Bernard wanted to write him this letter and encourage him and express his filial obedience to him. And among other things, he spoke about the Pope's power. And this is really where the doctrine of the two swords took on this sort of temporal political dimension. He was saying that the Pope has two swords, and that one of them is spiritual, his power to teach, govern, and sanctify, and guard the faith. And the other is temporal, that because he had the spiritual authority and was entrusted with the faith to guard and protect it, that he was capable of also interpreting the natural law, for example, and therefore he was in a position to even judge princes. And so he had this temporal authority as well, which he was free to exercise. However, he got this doctrine, St. Bernard got this doctrine, the two swords, from his interpretation of sacred scripture. He was interpreting the 22nd chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, where our Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's speaking to his apostles, and he's telling them that formerly I told you not to carry a staff or to carry money with you. Now I'm telling you to take those things and to sell your cloak and to buy a sword. And one of the apostles says to our Lord, he says, Lord, we have two swords. And our Lord says, it is enough. Now, St. Bernard's interpretation of this is that these two swords represent the spiritual and temporal authority of the church. And in fact, we're told in elsewhere in the gospel, for example, in St. John's gospel, that Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus, when our Lord was being arrested. And our Lord tells Peter, put your sword back in its sheath. I have come to drink this chalice. And don't you realize that that my Father could send armies of angels here to protect me? And what St. Bernard says about that sheathing of the sword is that while Peter really has this sword and he can wield it, it's his sword, the sword of temporal power, that it is fitting that he should not wield it, but that it should be wielded indirectly through other Christian princes who are willing to defend the rights of the church. Now, later on, about a century and a half later, in 1302, Pope Boniface VIII wrote a papal bull called Unum Sanctum, which, among other things, was about no salvation outside the church. But the occasion for his writing this papal bull was his conflict with Philip the Fair, the king of France, who was trying to take control of the clergy and taxing them and doing things to the clergy that Pope Boniface objected to. So he wanted to maintain the liberty of the church. So he asserted the power of the two swords, that he was in charge of the church, and he had the spiritual authority, and he had to be the father and guardian of his priests, but also that he could judge the behavior of, for example, Philip the Fair, and he had this power to do so. So this doctrine of two swords became part of the teaching of the church through Pope Boniface. Now the church no longer exercises this kind of temporal authority. The papal states are reduced basically to the Vatican City, and with Pope Pius IX, who at one time was practically a prisoner in Italy, the power of the church in the temporal order was greatly reduced. But Pius IX also defined papal infallibility, and so the moral authority of the church increased. Now, the Templars, as I said, were given these two swords, or reminded that they had these two swords by Saint Bernard, because he wanted them to remember that they should fight the interior battle, so to make them ready for the exterior one, and to remind them also that even if they died in the course of their temporal battle, they were still victorious. Now we need to remember that today as well. This should be the secret of the two swords for us, that we live in times which are very difficult, and we fight battles that, humanly speaking, are almost impossible to win. The fight against abortion and same-sex marriage, and the upholding of the natural law. You know, vice in schools is taught as virtue, and virtue is taught as vice. And we need to stand up and be leaders, especially men, in these times which are so very, very difficult, and in which courage is so often lacking. And of course, we have the scandals within the church and among priests, and these are very, very, very hard times. And so it's very important, extremely important, that we be in reality both men of prayer and men of action. And this has been a very big point of mine in regard to Marian chivalry. For men, they need to have a contemplative life. They need to be like a monk in a sense. And yet that has to be translated into a militant spirit, a spirit by which we are willing to defend the rights of the church. And in a particular way, again, that reminds us of the Blessed Mother. Great saints like Saint Maximilian Kolbe dedicated himself to the Blessed Mother for the good of souls in the face of the enemies of the church. Saint Maximilian prayed every day, "O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the Freemasons." And that should be our prayer. We say the enemies of the church nowadays, but it really, Saint Maximilian exemplifies the spirit, because in the end of his life, he wouldn't be quiet. And the enemies of the church in his own life were the Freemasons, the Nazis, and the communists. And ultimately, the Nazis arrested him and put him to death because he wouldn't be quiet, because he wouldn't lay down and be quiet in the face of a lie. And that's the way we need to be as well. Whether we win or lose, whether we see abortion ended in our lives or not, we have to do the right thing, because it is the right thing, realizing that our willingness to speak up and to do what is right is part of the spiritual battle. Because in the end, our real enemies are not the princes of this world, or the enemies of the church that are human, but our enemies are in reality principalities and powers, the rulers of the world of darkness. Those are our real enemies, and it's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. So we need to get into the thick of it and remain there, knowing that God has given us these two swords to defend our spiritual life, to defend the church, the dignity of our faith and of Christ and His Blessed Mother, and the salvation of souls. So that's the secret of the two swords. And next time I'll talk about the secret of the Holy Grail in respect to the Knights Templar and their alleged possession of the Holy Grail. In a sense, they did possess the Holy Grail. And that's what I want to talk about next time on Standing Fast. Until then, this is Father Angelo Maria. God bless you and Ave Maria.
Ad Jesum per Maria.